live.
Yep.
Very cool. So, g'day, Ozzy. Thanks for joining us, mate.
Yeah, no worries.
Very exciting. Our first live stream. Obviously, you're a bit of an old hand at it.
Oh, a little bit, yeah, here and there.
Yeah. So, currently, we're waiting for Mick to join us. I don't know what he's got himself up to at the moment. And also, yep. We had Demok just before. He's still in the chat there, but he quite literally apparently had a knock at the door. So let's hope that that...
Oh, no. they found this stream.
Yeah. They found it before he even started. But yeah, small talk. How's it?
Yeah, not too bad. Yeah, I've just been trying to raise up the numbers on my channel so I can go for like the next partner sort of thing.
Right.
And that sort of thing. But yeah, not too much, man. Just being lazy and playing video games on stream. Living that neat lifestyle.
Very nice. Well, neat lifestyle is looking like a smarter and smarter bet as old Corona Chan, you know, really kicks off. G'day, Demok. You've come back. So it wasn't anything too exciting at the door, mate. You're all right?
Yep. Mostly accidentally locked me mum out, so yeah, that was a bit of fun.
Very nice. She wasn't banging loudly, yelling stuff like, you know, nothing like that. No.
Yeah, my brother beat me to it, managed to he's the favorite child now because they managed to prove it was me that locked it too. So
did she
overcook, demoted?
Did she overcook the tendies or something? And that's why you did it?
No, I just took the bin out and forgot to not lock.
So this is the kind of high quality content you've come to expect from us. You've joined us on the live stream to get it straight from the source.
Yep. Here we teach you the big flexes, such as how to, you know, throw your weight around in the household a bit.
How to lock your mum out.
So Ozzy's been good. He's been working on his stream. Demok and I were having a bit of a chat before we went live, but how have you been going, mate? Do you want to tell all of our valued listeners?
Yeah, pretty good. Managed to surprisingly encounter some career prospects in real life.
That is a surprise. No, I'm kidding.
It's been a good week.
Awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
Right now, just as the Neats are inheriting the Earth.
Yeah, that's what I said to Ozzy, that the Neat life is not a silly option at all at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, so we've got... I wrote some chintzy intros for all of us, but I suppose we have to wait until Mick gets here. Bronce will be joining us a little bit later, but we'll see people, I hope, rolling into the chat over time. Yep. How many people have we got at the moment? I don't know.
We got
10. Holy moly. That's pretty good. Welcome, everybody. There is a chat on DLive there. We're going to keep an eye on our Telegram too. So feel free to post things anywhere. Yeah, very cool. So now we're just waiting quite literally for Mick to finish his dinner. Yeah, that's the sort of...
munging down the curry as we speak.
Is doing a bit of research on the application of tomatoes in cooking.
Yeah.
He's just educating himself further to give a more in-depth talk on this book.
That's it. He's a method podcaster. Like, he's a method live streamer. He needs to immerse himself.
Absolutely dead set on this one. Just try to balance him out by only reading a bit of the book.
Just covered himself in tomatoes and was just like really getting into the method of tomato hosting.
Yeah, I've started over the last few weeks picking up those pots of multicolored cherry tomatoes so I can, you know, get a taste of what we're talking about, become a little bit of a tomato critic so I can actually input something. Doing a little bit of that as well, but not reading the book. That's Mick's problem this week.
Yeah, I'll have to admit I haven't read it either. I'm eager to learn about tomatoes, though.
Mate, when he turns up, He's going to school all of us. He's been waiting for this, I think, most of his life, you know, really.
I think he ended up on this podcast because the one on gardening didn't take off. Yeah, we actually had a chat. We had everyone who we thought would be interested in podcasting or have a bit of skill in it after the from the group that gathered around the Absolute State.
Mm.
And Mick was dead set on doing a gardening one, and it just didn't happen.
So this is
today. I think only the Janny stream and this one actually ended up getting finished.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is the apogee. This is the zenith of Mick's career. Will be the tomato cast. We've been threatening to do it in one form or another.
Until shaming the whoever else was going to do gardening into podcasting again.
Yeah, exactly. No, but it'll be very nice when he joins us. If only so we can stop playing for time. But yeah, so the book we're going to be looking at, just so we got it on the record, is, now we all know this, but it's Tomato, A Guide to the Pleasures of Choosing, Growing and Cooking by Gail Harland and Sophia Larranua Craxton. Craxton? Craxton. There you go. So for those of you reading along at home, but with a bit of movie magic, even if you're not reading along at home, I don't know if... There's a bit of a lag on the stream, but I've just tried to switch scene for us.
Yeah, there's a couple of seconds lag.
Right.
I tried streaming video games once and had like 20 seconds lag.
Yeah, it can get pretty bad.
So I think we're doing all right with just a few on this one.
Yeah. So I've just switched across so we can all share and read along together. And we can have a look at this wonderful cover of the book. So, yeah.
There we go.
Is it there? Oh, yep. Look at that. Wonderful. So, seeing this is the action behind the scenes. So, look at that beautiful cover there. How many of those do you reckon you've eaten, Demok, in the last couple of weeks?
None of those look like the ones in the Woolies Healthy Kids bucket. I don't remember what they call it. Got to say that I appreciate them all, but the good old classic little spherical red one, whatever that one is, that's still the favorite, still the best.
Why is Mick not here? I don't know. Yeah. He would know the names of all of those, and their, you know, and two of their best friends and their phone number. He would be all over it.
Yeah.
I bet we can make Mick turn up quicker by just making up things about tomatoes, which is straight up wrong. He's going to have to hurry up and correct us.
That's true, yeah. I think the one in the bottom right-hand corner, that little yellow number there, I think that's called the Angry Susan. That's
yeah.
And the one above it is called the Wrinkly Jim. And that tastes...
That one's actually a pumpkin.
Yeah. At least half of these are actually persimmons. This is just a test.
Welcome to the live stream, everyone. G'day, Carl. How's it going? G'day, Bronce. Yeah, Bronce should be joining us on the mic at some point. Ozzy's obviously with us. G'day, yep. No Lives. Very nice no GIF there. Matter. Yep.
Yeah, he's got a good channel. Go give him a follow.
Nice. Sub to No Lives, everyone. I'm going to go and do it as we speak. So yeah, what do you reckon that sort of green watermelon looking little one in the middle is? What's that about? I don't know. I reckon they're poisonous. Yeah, they're poisonous.
I've just definitely decided
they're poisonous. You can't eat those. Yeah.
That's the African watermelon.
Yeah. I was going to say that. The ones at the top definitely look like some Africanized watermelons.
Look at me. I'm the tomato now. Africanized one. Yeah, no, that's good. It's not working. Mick still hasn't joined us. But yes, this show will center around gardening for fun, pleasure, and the boogaloo.
Yep.
So we're going to be talking
about... Might
as well
open it up to questions from the audience, which is... going to be epic if Mick turns up as soon as we start and we end up on that for at least an hour. And we just mock Mick by not talking about tomatoes.
Yeah, the whole thing. Yeah.
And the audience who we've told we were talking about tomatoes and all of the up to this.
They might have thought we were kidding. Like it was some sort of strange ploy, you know, to sneak under the radar of increasing surveillance pressures. And we're like, nah.
This is going to be the siege stream.
That's it. This is literally a cover. It's a book cover, and it's a cover for our behavior.
Yeah. Yep, definitely.
Or maybe I'll turn the page. Hang on. Here we go. All right, let's see what. Oh, now that's a good page.
Yeah, we've got to wait for it to
pop in a sec. It's a nice tomato. Is it? Wait for it. Oh, you can see the cursor. That's tech support gone mad. Look at that. Here we are.
You can see how long the delay is.
It's pretty good. Yeah, this is... Thanks, Australia. Thanks for your internet, mate. This is good. There's nothing wrong with this.
There we go.
Oh, look at that.
Made it even slower to build character.
it makes it more intense.
Well, that's the first tomato fact I'll share, right? They take a long time to grow. Like, longer than I thought. Yeah.
I've never tried my hand at tomatoes. We've had them ages ago when I was living at home, like just cherry tomatoes growing in the back garden.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know how long they were there because I was a kid and they were just, you know, there.
Yeah.
But never tried my hand at it myself. So
yeah.
In the chat, we've got a few comments here. We've got No Lives Matter telling us that cherry tomatoes are pure kino.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Agreed. The communists fear the tomato, high jester.
Yeah, they actually, I know when mangoes were first brought over to China under the Mao's rule, they like started to like worship them and stuff like that. And they would have like gold mangoes everywhere, and they were just like this magical thing that they reckon that Mao invented, but it was brought over by someone else. I can't remember the full story, but I remember that.
Yeah, I one of my favorite fruit and vegetable related stories is of a because of course I've got a selection but is of early explorers, Viking explorers. Can't remember where they went, but you can probably look it up. And one of them came home to treat their chieftain with a lemon. And they brought it back in this lovely little wooden box, this velvet-lined thing, and gave the lemon to the chief. And he picks it up and does the old Tony Abbott and just smashes into the side. He had a hell of a time. So there you go. Well, I thought I'd share, you can see it maybe on the stream now, the contents page of this masterwork with everybody. Yeah. So there's just so much here. I mean, we might be here all night, I think.
I'm really interested in the very first part, like the tomato story. I want to get the background and like where they came from, you know, all what? That sort of thing.
You're the guest, mate. I think that's something we should do. That's something we should do. I'm going to switch this over to two-page view. Here we are, the full spread. Right. So when the NBN carrier pigeons have brought those two pages across, we can jump in and have a chat. Carl's mentioned Chuginug. That's some deep lore for everybody who's tuned in.
Yeah.
Chuginug is... What is Chuginug, Demok? Is it a state of mind?
It can be a state of mind, but it's also so much more. It's a bit like Hyperborea. If you're with us for a Evola, it's sort of a physical place, but also a spiritual one.
Yeah.
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 In the same way that the north where the sun never sets is, that's... Chuginook is the Frankston version of that.
Yeah, glorious... Replace the glorious rotating sun wheel, the dolman with the rotating rotisserie chicken rack. the sacrificial fire is replaced with the paper bag of charcoal. Yeah.
The black sun actually represents the heat and light that comes off blackened charcoal at the local chicken shop.
Yeah. That's real. This is deep Australian esoteric banter here. We shouldn't be telling people all of this, really. So the tomato story.
Yeah, we might have non-Australians in here who'll be figuring all of this out, and then they'll know too much.
There wouldn't be any of those. Yeah, no, we would have. We've got a very strict control, border control policy. So if you're not Australian, then yeah, welcome. But we're watching you, mate. So Aussie, yeah, you were interested in the tomato story, mate. And I mean, this is both barrels here. So South America, I didn't know that. They're related to nightshade. Bit of a dangerous history. From the largest beefsteaks to the smallest cherry tomatoes. Yeah.
I can get behind that.
Yeah. I mean, they're I don't know. I've got a few tomatoes in the backyard now. You've eaten a few this week, DeMont? Aussie has maybe tried to grow some in the past?
Yep, just like Mick, doing the intense study there on all parts of it, especially the Woolies kids bucket of cherry tomatoes.
Oh, that is the tomato story. The tomato story is just 2 pages. So that's it. That's the whole story.
Yeah, that's not a whole lot for the origins of Italian fascism there.
Yeah.
No,
we used a bit more.
Yeah, maybe a little more. Lou Farino, what's up? How you going, mate? Good to see you. Brucey, thank you very much for the lemon. Welcome to the stream. Hope you like tomatoes, mate. Yeah, so I've just scrolled across to... what do we got? What's here? Yeah, next page. So we're now diving deep into particular varieties of tomatoes. So if Mick doesn't get here soon, we can just abandon the tomato project altogether, I think. Mick, you're on notice.
You've got, fascism.
Yeah, you've got 5 minutes. And then...
If he takes more than 5 minutes, we're picking another book and just pretending we were doing that all along.
Now, what I will do, I'll switch back over to... This is like a home shopping channel style now, so welcome everyone. It's a bit early for home shopping, but here we are.
Yeah.
I'll put on a lovely selection of memes. Now, these were artisanal, handcrafted memes. These were produced by Democ to correspond to each of our episodes of our little podcast so far. So I really hope that we can maybe have a bit of a chat about those while we wait for the person who's been waiting for this stream for months.
Turns up late to his own stream.
I know. And I've got to try and play for time and talk about, tomatoes. Hang on, let's see. The memes will pop up in a sec. I've attached them to the pigeon. I've sent the pigeon.
Okay. There we go.
Oh, Brucey boy. Brucey boy's growing some Romas. Good on you, mate. Romas a nice tomato.
We got a diamond from No Lives Matter. Aussies only. We grew here, you stream here. F off, we're cool.
What a champ. Thanks for the diamond. I like it. So, yeah, we got the fascism meme there. And so I remember that book pretty fondly. That was good. I'd say that's pretty accurate, that meme. We got exactly what it said on the cover. My favorite.
Yeah, mostly said it answer 100 questions, and he answered 100 questions.
Now, this one I really liked. I don't know if it'll come through. Hang on. The one that you did on Serotonin was piss funny. Hang on. What is that voice I can hear?
It's me.
Oh. It's Mick. You've decided to join us, mate.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. A bit of a case of... not Occam's razor. Fucking Murphy's Law.
Oh,
everything that can go wrong, could go wrong this evening. So I was a bit delayed.
Right.
But I'm here now.
Right. Well, now I suppose I can start the live stream properly. So thanks for everyone for bearing with us while we waited for the person who is able to carry the tomato stream. But
shit.
So, so I'd like to formally...
Yeah, no pressure.
Yeah, no pressure. So I'd like to formally welcome everybody to the Roots of the Right live stream. G'day. Welcome to the Tomato Cast.
What's going on?
So it's going to be like a cozy chat down the pub with your friends. We're looking forward to a bit of lighthearted advance about gardening with the boys and our listeners in the chat. So you can chat with us on DLive, on Telegram. We're going to keep an eye on that, and even Twitter if you want. So tonight...
Is there a link?
There should be.
Margin in here.
No, you're right. There's it's in our chat, our secret super secret it. Chat. There we go. Mix with the program. So we're joined first by meme magician and plumber of the depths of deepest leftist logic, the recently doxed Democ. How was it working with the chats, Democ?
Good.
Yep. Yeah. So your namesake is we thought he was a Hungarian chess player with a penchant for dining and dashing, and it turns out that he's just some bloke who does watercolors. How's that? What a turnaround.
Oh. Yeah, here I was stealing his bit, thinking that he was like dead for 20 years, but no, I'm actually stealing the bit of some guy who's still going.
Yeah, and we've got we're also joined by the one man black pill dispensary, gardening enthusiast and autiste par excellence, Mick. So, how many kinds of tomatoes can you name, Mick?
You shouldn't ask that question of me right now off the top of my head. Probably only one or two.
Right, okay, all right.
And yeah, we can go through the book and look at them all. So.
Oh, we're going to. Yeah, we've got 22 people who are willing to join us on that journey. It's look, it's
poor bastards.
Yeah, it's 22 dirty work.
People, all of them just willing to sit there while we list names of tomatoes.
So
some of them are.
I reckon that parasite we were talking about in the last episode concerning tomatoes, Mick, I reckon that might have been nematodes. Am I right?
I think it was, yes.
Right. Because Borzo reckons it was nematodes, Nutria, yeah. Which is some giant rat-looking thing. So, shout out to Borzo.
No, it wasn't Nutria. It was... it would have to be, like, nematodes encompasses a wide variety of organisms, I believe. So, it could be.
All right.
It could be one of many things, really.
And last but definitely not least, streaming superstar from Down Under... He's a valued member of our Cobberbund. He's our friend and yours, Aussie Mozzie. G'day. Thanks for joining us.
It's all right. You're too kind. You're giving me too much compliments for what I do on here.
He's going as red as a tomato. I've enjoyed some of your live streams. As red as a beefsteak, would you say, Mick? As red as a gross lissy.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. As red as a beefsteak.
Roma red.
Roma red.
Roma red. That's the one.
Roma red. Roma's in the chat. And yeah, I'm Thermos. I'm the bloke who's usually here, so g'day.
Holding it all together.
Wow, let's not go that far. So Mick, right, now that you've chosen to grace us with your bloody presence, why are we doing this book, Mick?
Sorry about that. I don't know, because it's a good book.
Oh, you heard it first here.
Yeah,
I think we did get a special request in the Telegram a little while back.
We did.
Yeah,
we did. We did. So and that's how much we care, that people. That's how much
I have
we
a
care.
Bit of a penchant for gardening.
Penchant for the pomodoros.
Penchant, yeah, I do. I quite like it. I find it to be a very invigorating and relaxing experience. go out there one morning, just have a cup of tea, and get some shit done, and the rewards they pay themselves off. It's one of the only activities in life that you can do that and you feel like you've earned it at the end of it, you know, in this clown world where everything's just like getting your wagey cage and make 20 cents an hour. It's good to
also if you fail horribly as well, you kind of push you cop the blame and you kind of push forward and try again, figure out what you've done wrong. There's no victim complex in gardening.
It's a constant learning process too. Like, I mean, there's like I still fuck up shit all the time, right? I'll do something like I put too much crap in there and it'll make it go ham and then I'll forget to prune it one day or I'll go off on holidays. And
I see you follow the Chinese fertilizer technique, too much crap. That's the...
Yeah, too much poo.
Yeah, right.
Pee pee.
Mm-hmm.
It's looking like the Yangtze in my garden right now. It's just full of shit. it's a learning process, and then I think like hydroponics, for example, is a really good example of where you can fuck up a lot and where you can learn a lot in a very short amount of time.
Yeah. So that brings me to, I was gonna just put you on the spot with this shit because, you know, it's why we're here. So growing tomatoes, right, in various climates. Obviously we've got an audience from all over the world tuning in to hear your takes on tomatoes. Yeah. So what would you give them? I mean, cool climate, hot, I don't know what it's called, is it hot? And then there's temperate in the middle, is that how this works?
Stinking hot.
Yeah, okay.
It's fucking cold, it's stinking hot, and there's, yeah, it's not so bad.
Right.
I reckon temperate is probably the go. I mean, that's just from my own experience. But it's traditionally, like, I guess, ancestrally, it's a warm climate vegetable. There are some cool climate varieties.
Oh, like is it cordon, a fruit or a vegetable?
It's whatever. Fuck you. we're gonna get caught up on that debate. We might as well just like throw it in the towel now.
Thanks for tuning in to Stream Bass.
It's a fruit, but that's, right. Yeah, we'll just call it a vegetable.
Yeah. So next tomato-related controversy. So growing in various climates. So if you live in a cool climate, you reckon temperate's the way to go. So if you're living in a cool climate, just move house. Is that right?
Well, not that. I mean, there's different varieties that are like frost hardy, for example, and ones that'll have their particular grow seasons in colder climates or in the warmer months of a colder climate. And cordon is the one that springs to mind because, you know, it's just a big vine plant. It'll grow up until...
cordon. So hang on.
Yeah,
wait a minute.
That climbs.
I've got...
It's a vine-like plant. There's a bit on it in there.
There is. We had a chat, actually. Pre-show, we made sure that we were able to give people access to the pictures to accompany the explanation. So we've got the text coming up on the stream now. We'll just have a look. So we've got Carl still with us. There's a bit of banter in the chat around tomatoes. Post fruit or vegetable in the chat. Let's settle this once and for all. And see, I'm giving it a crack in cool climates. You know, not to dox myself, but. It's tough. It's tough. It's tough in the old cool climate. Yeah, so yeah, I think I just got to move. I think we got to move.
We've just figured out that Thumos lives at the top of Mount Donna Buang. He's the only one. Absolute docs.
Oh, No Lives has got some sage there. That is pure wisdom. So knowledge is knowing tomatoes are a fruit. Wisdom is knowing it doesn't belong in a fruit salad. That's it.
Damn.
I think he just won the stream. Well done, mate.
Could it claim that the Chinese will put tomato in a fruit salad? I've not seen it backed up, but I've seen it claimed.
And they'll put dog in a fruit salad, won't they?
Yeah, they put anything.
Yeah, it's just anything goes. A bit of fucking Szechuan dog meat.
So next official question, right, Mick? How do you deal? So we've got a picture of the cordon there, the variety you were talking about, a bit of cool climate. They'll cop it.
Let me have a look. Hang on.
It's on the stream. Just over, yeah. Don't stress, Mick. You're not hosting or anything. Just have a look at the stream when you can.
It's fucking delayed. That's right, though.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll trust that you've got the right picture up there.
that's the kind of trust we've got here.
Yeah.
So the next official question was how Mick, do we deal with the eternal aphid?
White oil, I found out, is actually incredibly good for aphid control. The right. trick is, though, with edible plants is to, if you're going to give them the old 1-2, the aphid colony, with, and like white oil is brilliant. It'll destroy an entire colony, no matter what size it is, in like a matter of hours. But if it's an edible plant, what you want to do is you want to lay off that for maybe a week or two. You want to let it sort of recover. And you don't want to eat shit that has white oil on it adversely. So what I'd do is I would surround the affected area.
Yeah.
With like cardboard or
with
paper
whites.
Or something.
Oh no, to, with cardboard.
Yeah, to prevent overspray.
Oh yeah.
It's just to prevent overspray onto nearby plants or other vegetables or fruit and the such, and just give her some, you know, lay it on thick. They don't move because aphids are like, they're a very bizarre creature. I think they're like the strangest creature ever. They have very strange habits. They don't react to any stimuli whatsoever.
Right.
There could be a ladybug next to all their mates, just like fucking munging down on, chowing down, and they won't move. They'll just stand there and just suck away at the plant.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, I mean, they say that blowflies, right? They're stupid because they don't have brains, and their brain is just more or less like it's a place where all their nerve endings meet.
Right.
But an aphid is like their brain must be the size of an atom, or they just don't even have a brain at all. They're like bacteria. But
maybe
if
their
you
nerves
douse
don't
them
meet.
With white oil, sorry.
Maybe their nerves just don't meet.
Yeah, I think they're just fucking insects for the sake of insects. But I think you just cordon off a particular section, you douse them in white oil, they won't even react, and the next day they'll all be dead. And then I would maybe lay into whatever that plant was a week later after that's happened.
Do you want to explain what white oil or what is in white oil for us non-gardening plebs?
You can pick it up at Bunnings, and what it does is it's just basically what it does is it blocks all their breathing pores. It's like there was a particular, I can't think of the name of it now, but that's what it does is it it just adheres to the insect and it will stop them from breathing because they can't breathe through it.
So it's like a like mortine but for plants.
Yeah. Then it's like, if you look at how it's made, it's fairly simple. I think it's just, you just vegetable oil and dish soap.
Yeah, I was looking it up on Google and there was a picture of vegetable oil and dish soap.
You can home make it, right? But like I said, you don't want to be eating the same fruit that you've just sprayed within a period of time that, you know, it might taste like dish soap.
Yeah.
So maybe just a rain or two.
Yeah. Just give it, let it rain. Let that shit wash down into your mulch. And problem.
Problem solved.
Problem solved.
Got a bit more in the chat, which is good. So ladybugs eat aphids. This is from No Lives Matter. They're keeping them around. A bit of a struggle. Yep. I found that. Yeah, they'll get in there. They'll sort it out.
The trick is if you see them around your veggie patches, to try and catch them. And I know it seems counterintuitive, but I always find that ladybugs just have, like, I don't know, low IQ. So the best thing to do is just get them in a jar and just, like, whack them next to your aphids, and they'll be like, oh, there's food here, and they'll just start munging them down, and they won't move from there unless disturbed. So.
Well, yeah, I think that's some good advice. So what do you reckon about hotels for them, you know, those little bug hotels you can buy? Is that a good idea?
I don't really know if ladybugs do the whole solitary bee bit where they all try to live in a hotel if there's one available. I think they just fuck around. They're very low IQ insects. They just live that nomadic lifestyle.
Yeah, like, high time preference.
Yeah.
High time preference. Just,
I'm going to go fly to that leaf and just, yeah. There's no pinning them down unless there's an incentive there, and that incentive is always food or mating.
So you need more ladybugs. Right, okay.
Yeah, if you need more ladybugs, just put two of them next to each other. You don't even have to tell what gender they are because they'll fuck.
Well, you've got to ask, don't you? That's the polite thing. And then you've got to,
well,
you know, say, excuse me, ladybug.
Or come up on ladybug.
They bug. So, all right, next official question. And I've projected the page for this. So you're a bit of a fan of the old aquaponics or the deep culture aquaponics, Mick, absolutely, from what I've heard. So tell us about the Chad aquaponics versus the virgin dirt growers. Get into it.
It's the advantages are fucking incredible. The sort of the fruit yields that you can expect from the same plant. I've done the same plant before, right? I've cloned two tomatoes from the same stem. They are roughly the same size when I started. Put one of them in deep water hydroponics, which is basically, if you don't know what that is, it's you fill up a Bunnings tote full of water and nutrient solution,
right?
And on that lid, you you put the lid on the tote, and then you drill a hole in it about 3 inches in diameter. And is it radius or diameter? What you want to do is you put a net cup in there with some rock wool is a common medium. You can also use like fucking clay pellets or something, dried clay pellets.
Yeah.
With the plant in there, with its roots touching the water, and you only want it to like touch the surface at first. And as time goes on, the water will deplete naturally over time as the plant sucks it up and transpires it, and then it will keep dropping the roots further into that solution. And because, well, you don't have all the other shit that you would expect in soil, like there could be bugs in there that will have a nibble on the roots or whatever.
Mm.
They love it. And if you have a really good nutrient solution mix, which is not that hard to do, you can just chuck in some sea salt or get that dried shit or whatever it is. It's like a crystal substance that you mix in with water. It's water soluble. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head.
Like a wedding crystal thing?
No, not like a wedding crystal. It's, fuck, I'll look it up and then I'll remember. But the point is you mix that in there thoroughly. You don't want it like a big pile of soluble material that hasn't dissolved sitting right underneath roots. Otherwise, it'll cause tip burn on the plant.
Tip burn?
Which is, you know, you give it too much nutrients and it'll just kill itself. You want that nice and thoroughly mixed in. And as time goes on, you don't have to even touch the water, maybe just top it up.
Right.
That's what I do, because on really, really hot days, for example, some of it's going to evaporate, and then, you got to refill that shit. What you can expect from the same plant versus one another in a soil medium and in a hydroponics, like deep water hydroponics, the deep water hydroponics plant will probably be triple the size of it, in my experience, which is crazy, and like triple the fruit yields and everything. They are a lot more pest resistant as well, obviously, because you don't have like your roots and shit going into the ground, and that's where snails and stuff crawl up, right? They've got to crawl up from somewhere, but they won't fucking go near a tub because it's like, this isn't dirt. I don't want to be on this. It's plastic. And even still.
So they reject modernity.
Yeah, they reject modernity. But sometimes, like, there's aspects of modernity. Like, we don't have to go full Ted Kaczynski, right? This is an example of technology that we endorse because it makes our lives easier.
Plastic society and its discontents. Yeah.
But you can expect triple the yields, probably triple the size, depending on whether or not the plant is going to respond to it well. And in most cases, it does. Like, there's some plants that are just not naturally inclined towards it, like potatoes, for example. But even then, I've seen people grow fucking potatoes inside deep water hydroponics. And it's brilliant because it just works. And it's dead simple. Like, you only have to spend $20 in bullshit to get this sort of thing to work. It's not like everyone thinks, oh, hydroponics, it's probably like really autistic and involved. It's not. It's fucking straightforward as.
Right. I've done a bit of a drawing for people just while you were talking there.
You don't have
there.
To dig in the dirt.
Yeah, you don't have to dig in the dirt if it's hydroponics. Because you and I have talked about this before. I'm sure that won't shock anybody. No, I can't share my drawing. That's horrible. Oh, well. We'll just have to struggle on.
Big dick?
No, it was... I tried to draw. But I'm sure we'll publish the fact sheet to our website or to our stream there so you can get your
going. There is... somebody in the chat mentioned Jeb Gardner did a pretty great video on cheap nibber hydroponics. Jeb Gardner's channel is actually kind of what inspired me to get into it in the first place.
There you go.
He has like a lot of videos with classic music overlay, and he just sort of experiments with gardening, and it's brilliant content. I don't know what makes it so addictive to watch, but
it's very trad.
He's got like 1.8 bazillion views on his videos, so obviously I'm not the only one.
Holy moly.
There's another guy, Through the Flower Horn, but it's not really vegetable or fruit related, but he does a lot of stuff with aquariums and fish, but like doing it all naturally. So he'll grow stuff from
the fish
like he'll plant like a sweet potato or lettuce or cabbage or something in it, and then some other things, and then somehow he'll grow together. And yeah, he's got like similar kind of videos where it's really relaxing to watch and sees like how he actually gets through it all and stuff. It's pretty interesting.
Aquaponics is like the end game meta, like autism taken to its logical conclusion.
Yeah, definitely.
Sort of way to garden, I think, because you're growing a fish, right, which you can also eat. It's like permaculture right there.
Yeah.
And the fish's poo feeds the plants, which you also eat as well. Yeah. There's like some dead ends in that system though, like how you feed the fish, for example. Some people, like, they go to the extent of making an aquaponics setup, and then they go and feed them the same sort of fish food that commercial fisheries like in Norway give to their salmon that makes them all fucked up and mutant. It's like full of hormones that distorts their heads and shit. So finding a stable source of like food that's really good for your fish is probably the biggest hurdle, I think. And, you know, having that shit not be really expensive.
Mm.
But otherwise, it's a very straightforward setup. It's just managing that circulation of water to get the fish poo and the other nutrients and stuff through the roots of the plant.
So we've got quite a few questions from the chat. I don't know if we can maybe spread these out amongst us, or Mick, you can just dive in. So Carl wants to know your thoughts on the bee sting penis enlargement method. This one's open to the panel.
Untested.
Okay.
Yeah.
You could try to be
untested, but you've inspired morbid curiosity here. Thank you, Carl.
So somebody's actually requested, Mick, that you spurg out on bees. That would be a massive derail. But just give us a bit of your an idea of your bee credentials.
Bee credentials. Oh.
Yeah. You've been doing.
I'm a big fan of the Australian native bees. Tetragonula carbonarias in particular is the scientific name of the one that concerns me the most. I have a few of their beehives actually, and they're fantastic little fuckers.
It's hot stuff.
Very enjoyable to watch. But my main interest in bees is not so much as the aspect of them producing honey for me to consume. It's more so having an efficient pollinator in my yard. And I think tetragonulas are probably the best insofar as, well, I mean, even if you were in a warm climate, for example, you can harvest their honey and it's some of the best honey in the world.
Mm.
It actually has better antimicrobial antibacterial properties than Manuka does. And Manuka is renowned or world renowned for that sort of thing. It's fucking ludicrously expensive, but sugar bag honey is considerably better, actually. It's like almost tenfold better.
So,
go on.
Brucey Boy's cut in too. Brucey Boy's cut in. So he says chilies are pretty easy. He's got around 40 habaneros in his freezer. So I know you can't stop growing them either. Because he said, and this is the question I think, is his plant won't stop fruiting. You know, help. Help him. Help Brucey.
Oh, what do you want it to do though? Do you want it to fruit or do you just want it to grow more foliage?
So we can get a bit of follow-up from Brucey on that. All right, Lou Farino, loved your work in the Hulk, mate. So he asks... what do we got? He asserts, I should say, basil is a must if you grow tomatoes. I know you agree, Mick. Companion planting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Give us the inside lane.
Well, with basil, right, it produces an aroma that will complement the tomato. Like some tomatoes will actually gain a certain taste of basil.
It'll simp for the,
for
the tomato.
The tomato. They also have the same sort of nutritional requirement, like nutritional requirements in the soil. So growing them together is extremely easy. The byproducts that they produce benefit one another as well.
Right.
This is the foundation of Italian fascism.
Yeah. If you get the tomatoes right, everything else just kind of follows from there, really.
So what you want to do in your veggie patch is you have tomatoes in the center and you surround them with a border of basil, and then you surround that basil with another border of chives. And that's like penultimate gardening right there. That's the meta.
Yeah. And then you surround surround that chive border with a wall and a political barrier.
That's the wall that Donald wall. Trump should be.
And then you put building. You put petroleum jelly on top of that wall to stop the fucking snails from coming in.
There's I've heard basil's pretty good with like most sorts of vegetables. I think I tried to, because I've grown some chilies here and there, and I think I had that basil with chilies as well, because I read that they
work very similar.
Well. Yeah,
very very similar to one another. The chili and the tomato plant, they complement rather well as well. If you put your tomatoes with your chilies, there's some people that believe that they also have that aroma inheriting property. With like, if you plant super spicy varieties like some of the Chinesium ones or whatever the fuck they're called, like Carolina Reapers, for example, and yeah, some people seem to think that if you plant them in close proximity to chilies, tomatoes will inherit some of the characteristics. And I guess that's just because the bees that are going to pollinate the two, they're carrying shit from one to another, and I guess some chemicals get mixed up in that regard.
That would be interesting to find out whether, like, to grow some of those, like you said, the Carolina Reaper. With say like some tomato or some other fruit or vegetable that works well with it, like how much of a crossover you would get with the flavors and or like spice or whatever.
Look, I would probably liken it to microchimerism in females when they have sex with people. So it's probably not super noticeable, but there's something to be said for it scientifically.
So this raises a question I think we actually somehow ended up touching on in our practice stream. What happens if you get cum on your tomatoes? Is there a recovery from that? Or are you just stuck with a tomato with a human face in your patch that you have to hide from people?
I think it's probably best to remove the affected limb of the plant as quickly as possible. Just quarantine that shit before you get arms and legs sprouting out of every truss.
Another deep spiral is I'm pretty sure there's some old horror movies that is Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. I think there's three different movies that I think would not relate to this stream at all, but I thought I'd bring that up.
No, it relates. Trust me, it relates.
Like the Triffids of something, right? You jizz on one and it becomes like a Triffid human hybrid.
So I've just taken the liberty of putting up for our valued audience the actual means of fertilizing your tomatoes if you get to this point, and also preserving. We were going to dive into that next, talking about. So I'll just share, if we have a look in the stream now, you can see an image to guide you through me frantically searching for the right page there, but to guide you through the process of pollinating your own tomatoes if you want to chuck a mick. So it's not grafting. Yeah, we'll get to it. But the next official big question I had for you, Mick, was gardening for a rainy day, right? If you're gardening for, sustainability, permaculture, support yourself, trying to get enough food to live off, how would you get started?
Look, start small scale, I think. If you want to sort of dabble in hydroponics, I think this is a great thing to do, is just to start off with basil, because basil responds really well to a hydroponic environment.
Right.
And it's also a fantastic first plant to grow in the first place. It'll it's very easy, very forgiving.
Basil.
If you want to try it out, basil as a herb, and it's very versatile. I mean, you can just use it part of everyday life, right? What you want to do is you want to get a mason jar. You can just take out the lid of that mason jar and put in a net cup, fill the mason jar with water, just have a miniature dewater hydroponics of the basil will grow in there quite happily.
Right.
As the plant gets taller and taller, it'll consume a shitload of water, especially if left outside in the sun. Another thing you want to do as well is you want to paint that jar black.
Ooh.
Just any old rattle can will do the job, because it looks sick is the first thing, but it also stops light from permeating inside the nutrient mixture.
Yeah.
As it's also important, if you want to get totes and do the same thing, make sure they're black, because the less light that gets in there, the better. Because when the light gets in there, algae starts to grow. When algae starts to grow, it's going to grow on the fucking roots of the plant. When it does that, it's going to suffocate the plant, stop it from producing anything.
Right.
So get a mason jar, paint it black, put a net cup in top, bit of rock wool and a basil seedling, fill that bitch with water and nutrients, and that's it. You can sit it on your kitchen top bench or your windowsill, it'll grow, no problem.
You've definitely inspired me to try this out. I've not really looked into hydroponics apart from, selling grams and grams of it outside of my house. But, it sounds like a good kind of easy, or that what you described just then, a good easy way to get into it. And then
it's a piece of piss.
Yeah.
From there, you can transition into growing tomatoes, for example. I recommend doing tomatoes in soil, as even in soil, they become difficult to manage when they get to their major vegetative growth phase. They'll start sprouting what's called a sucker. So you have the main stem of the plant and a secondary stem, or it'll be a tomato truss, depending on what variety there is. And in between that, there's a little gooch, and then there'll be another plant that shoots out of the gooch, and that's called a sucker. And left to their own devices, that will effectively become another plant on your plant. So it becomes quite unruly pretty quickly.
Right.
An excellent way to clone tomatoes is to actually pick these suckers off. And I mean, you're going to have to pick them anyway if you want the plant to be manageable, but you can place the suckers in just a cup of water, and you don't even need rooting solution. It does help. But
rooting solution,
it'll start. Rooting solution.
You can get that. Yeah. Where can you get
You can get that a number of different places. But what it will do, it'll start to grow its own legs, basically. And you can put that in to, some more soil, or you can experiment with hydroponics whatever. It'll grow on its own, no right. problem, and become a genetically identical clone of the plant that you sourced it from.
So I've got that. We've just put up a page about that, removing those suckers or side shoots there. So that you can see diagram one. I'll just point it out for people. So here, that's the gooch. There it is.
So you want to
pull that out.
You want to remove whatever's growing out of the gooch.
Yeah.
You want to remove that.
That's Mick's hand there in this photo.
is he a Holocaust survivor?
Hang on, I don't think there's no. No there's
yeah,
no.
It was. It was hiding
so I guess I survived.
He was just hiding in his own tomato plant, which is the whole time.
Yeah.
Then wrote his story with a ballpoint pen.
So we've got the last thing, you know, gardening for a rainy day. I put up some preserving stuff people can have a look at. But then pretty soon I was going to ask you, Mick, what are your favorite tomato recipes? You know, what really gets you up in the morning with tomatoes?
Like, what do I make from them?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, you can't go past like some freshly harvested tomatoes in a bloody omelet. I have to say.
There you go.
Omelets are generally a fantastic and versatile and very easy to make meal. Tastes delicious. Just whack a few tomatoes in there from your garden and some ham and some cheese and some eggs that you've got from Egg Girl, and it's lit. But you can use them in anything. I mean, like, what's a fucking recipe that doesn't use tomatoes?
I'll show you. This is one of my personal favorites. I think we'll leave the tomatoes with this, unless, I mean, I know you'll have more, Mick, but this is a personal favorite
yours.
Recipe of mine.
You're probably a better cook than I might.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far.
So no, gotta give
go on.
A good old fashioned spag bol a shout out. It's a very Absolutely. Important dish.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Mm.
You have to have a secret recipe and your own variant on it to qualify as a dad, by the way.
Yeah, definitely.
True. Yeah, sneak a bit of zucchini in there. Pizza.
I love like making big veggie, big dick pizzas, making your own dough from scratch, you know, sticking that on top of the intercooler of your car after it's driven around a bunch just to make that fish rise, and then just get like a shitload of vegetables from your garden, just fucking plop them on top of that, whack them, no worries. Best thing you'll ever have in your fucking life, believe me.
You heard it first, everyone. So we're going to share the deep water culture fact sheet and the big dick pizza recipe. We'll put that up in our chat. We'll make sure we get that out, Gardening Australia style.
Somehow.
Pop one of my favorite recipes, you know. Love a bit of borscht.
Yeah, borscht is great. I've been on the borscht gang recently as well, just making shitloads of that.
Good. I've been meaning to try borscht for quite a while, and I've never had it.
There's one thing that I don't quite like about borscht is that after you make a shitload of it, right, you have to refrigerate your leftovers and have it another day. Have you ever like taken it out of the fridge, and do you ever have like a habit of sniffing it before you eat it? Because I always do that, and it stinks, man. It smells like rotting vegetables, but it doesn't taste like that. It tastes fucking amazing. I don't understand. It's like usually there's a correlation between how something stinks and your ability to, like, you know, that if it stinks, it's probably going to taste like how it stinks, right?
Yeah.
If it smells like shit, it's probably going to taste like shit. So this is like the complete opposite.
I don't know. I agree
Welcome
with that.
Welcome to Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
It's actually the best food in the world, please just believe me.
I know it smells like shit, just eat it.
I actually agree with that with kimchi. I love that stuff, but you open that like around anyone and everyone's just going to be like, what the fuck is that smell?
Yeah
sardines and sprats as well.
Yeah,
sustroming as well.
I've never had sustroming.
It tastes like fucking shit. So that's why.
Isn't sustroming the one that clears buildings?
Yeah, you can't open it by law, I think, inside hotels in Sweden.
Oh, that canned.
So, yeah, the canned like fermented herring. Yeah, it's apparently a hell of a thing.
I'm sure, if it's done right, it's probably not so bad. But fuck, I don't know the stuff. Fuck.
Terry likes. He's got another favorite recipe to share with us. So it's Terry. Welcome to the chat, mate. Cheers. He says he just likes eating ass. Yeah. That's nice.
Yeah. Well, it's, I guess it's efficient. You don't need hydroponics. there's lots of it around. You know, like,
that's true.
You have to be allowed to, if anyone tries to stop you in Melbourne, they get arrested.
So I've put up another recipe there for everyone. You can screenshot that one for later. That'll be a good one for when Corona Chan really hits. Make sure you got your spice pantry sorted.
Baked beans, very important recipe.
Very important recipe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, very important.
You're not allowed to watch Cars 2 without
using that. Can't mention beans without me immediately just like thinking of Cars 2 and the guy eating beans in the theater.
cheers, Bronzo, for the ice cream. No worries. I think now we can. Oh, there he is. G'day. All right. So I was going
to. I'm live on the Tomato Cast.
Fantastic. So thanks for joining us, Bronz. He's the man in the high production booth. So
the puppet master.
Yeah.
How's my audio, by the way? Am I too loud like usual?
Yeah, you're a little bit loud. Yeah.
A tiny bit.
Let me turn it down for you.
Yeah.
I'm Bronz. How's my audio?
Every time. Hi, I'm Bronz. How is my sounding?
Yeah.
Is that better? A bit quieter?
It sounds all right.
It's pretty good. What do we reckon in the chat? Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah, it should be all right.
So maybe
turn it down some more.
How was editing that almost 5-hour episode on leftist bullshit? How was that? Did you enjoy it?
Oh yeah, no, it was actually pretty fine because we kind of knocked that out without many hiccups. So we had all our audio good as well. So I actually just chucked it in and put the tunes in and churned it out. It was pretty easy. It just took ages to render the track because it was like 5 hours long.
Yeah.
We're going to start having more issues to make sure we meet our quota. I mean, because it's normally that gets tongue-tied.
Yeah, if we could have like 5 to 7 more issues next time, that would be great. Thank you, guys.
All right. Just meditate on really anxiety-inducing things to make sure I'm stumbling over every word.
So you can think about drowning before each sentence.
Or like falling off a steep cliff.
Just looking at an image of someone putting a mug on a table, but the mug's just a little bit off the edge.
It's not exactly in the center of the coaster.
Oh, that rustles me.
So, I reckon we'll turn it over to the chat for a bit. So we've been trying to answer gardening-related questions, but presuming they've heard about our podcast as well as our gardening knowledge. So anything in the chat, I don't know, whatever anyone wants to put in, the Bants. Apparently you're still a bit hot there, Bronz.
Fox is in there saying Bronz should just turn it all the way down.
Am I still audible? I turned it down a fair bit.
Yeah, no, you're all right.
You're pretty good.
Right, the chat is delayed with the audio as well, so it'll take a little bit for the comments to roll through.
Right, yeah.
So yeah,
I might spurge out about bees in the meantime.
Do it. Yeah, go off, King.
Yeah, let's go bee. Let's go bee mode.
Bee mode. Yeah.
Shout out to old mate Indefinite Null. He's going to want me to remind everyone that you've got to eat bees.
Yeah, you have to eat bees and listen to jazz.
I don't actually condone eating beans because I think they're quite useful in other regards of the mood. But each to their own, I guess.
Niggers eating bees, though.
Nigger eating bees. But no, I think like tomatoes, what they do is they attract what's known as buzz pollinators. Traditional honeybees, they're going to have a lot of trouble trying to actually pollinate tomato plants. And that's not to say that they're ineffective in so far as getting the pollen removed from flower, but it just takes them a lot of effort. There's a few species of bee in Australia that are native to this country that are what's known as buzz pollinators, and that is when they land on a flower, what they'll do is they'll vibrate themselves at a certain frequency, and when they do this, it actually releases the pollen inside the flower, and it just fucking shoots everywhere. Basically, it's like a big pollen bukkake.
They just jerk the flower right off.
Yeah, they jerk it right off. Cool. And the pollen attaches to the stamen and becomes a fruit. So they're exceptionally efficient pollinators. And the more tomatoes you have in the garden, there's a higher chance of finding these little fuckers in there. The most common variety about where I live is called the blue banded bee. If you live in Australia and you know anything about bees, you've probably seen these fuckers before as well. Some of the like the most photogenic bees is what they're referred to. But they're a solitary bee. They don't actually live in beehives. They burrow into clay or the ground. For example, they don't build hives. They just build a nest, essentially.
Right.
The male ones will go to sleep at night time. They'll attach themselves to a piece of wood that's large enough to fit inside their mandibles, and they basically just fall asleep with their mandibles bit down on this piece of wood, and they look rather hilarious.
Isn't that weird? That's what I do. Together. Yeah.
Yeah, I sometimes just go downstairs and I find a piece of wood and I just gnaw it.
Did you guys know that one bee has to fly about 90,000 miles to make 1 pound of honey, and that's 3 times around the globe?
Does one bee make the pound, or...?
Yeah, one bee was to work on its own to make a pound of honey, it would have to fly 90,000 miles, which is 3 times around the globe. The average bee will only make 1/12 of a teaspoon of honey in its entire lifetime.
Yeah, a pound of honey, that's half a kilo, isn't it? That's like saying you'd need to walk 3 times around the world in the time it takes you to spit swimming pool or something. So that's reasonable.
Yeah.
It's a good rate. You also consider there's trillions of fuckers per hive, right? So fuck them.
Yeah.
It's never going to happen.
But anyone can go and find that fact. I just Googled best bee fact. So if you want to verify that, you can Google best bee
facts. How many times can bees fly around the earth set amount of honey?
We have varieties of, we've got shitloads of native solitary bees. Blue banded is just one of them. You can get teddy bear bees, for example, and they usually look about the same. I saw one today. It was in my fucking house buzzing around being a dickhead. I caught them in a cup and I just threw them outside. But they have different nesting habits, and that's pretty much the only thing that really differentiates them from, say, blue bandeds and whatnot. But they're all buzz pollinators, which is very important. So if you see one of these giant fuckers in your garden and you think it's a wasp, don't add it. Don't slide into his DMs and be like, look, I'm going to kill you. But just leave them, because they're doing a good job. They are probably the reason why you produce so much fruit in the first place.
So no kill bee, Mick? No kill bee?
No kill bee. Very angry.
No kill bee.
Make me.
Okay.
The more plants that you have, like tomatoes, for example, that require buds pollinators. Chilies are another example that benefits from it. Eggplant as well, and basil. You just grow these fuckers in proximity to one another, and you're just going to have bees coming out your ass. It's going to be brilliant, and you're going to love it. They have fruit everywhere coming out your ears.
That's
love that.
That's good stuff.
I'm getting all excited. I want to go gardening right now. It's
getting that gardening feeling, right?
Midnight gardening. Gardening.
I've got the gardening pump, right?
So I just shared
a bit of late night gardening.
I just shared the instructional picture of deep water culture to our chat on Telegram. So maybe we should plug that now so people can go and find that chat. I'll switch across. It'll start scrolling across the top of your screen. But what's our tele address? What do we got? If you search for Roots of the Right on Telegram, you'll find us. You can hit the discussion from there.
T.me/ Roots of the Right.
Yeah,
that's the link.
Yeah. So that's where you'll find, you know what, I'll post
it
through through our official.
How do I open PDF?
Tell you what, I'm going to post it through our official channel just to confuse everyone who didn't tune in for the live stream.
What a cultural bug.
What's this? Man. What are you posting in there?
Just an instructional image based on something Mick was talking about.
You know what,
about.
I'll just link the fucking chat, the Telegram chat.
That's a great idea. That's a great idea.
In the DLive. Wonderful. Am I right?
Wonderful.
Can you
tell me I'm wrong?
No, do that.
You can show your screen as well with this Chinese voice app we're using, can't you?
Yeah, but I've been playing StarCraft this whole time, so
I think the proper pronunciation is Jitsu.
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 So yeah, I hope sharing this link doesn't give everyone ownership privilege of my channel, but here we go.
Part of being a gay communist stream is that everyone has ownership of the channel.
Yeah, that's right. They own the means of information dissemination. Posting.
Yeah, of production.
Dissemination, insemination, just everything.
Yeah, insemination in particular.
Mm.
Own the means of it.
Yeah, Bruce has got a good question here. There, do you need to change the water?
Yeah, look, I tend to just leave it alone, but there's sometimes where you just want to change it because it looks fucking gross and it smells gross. So the plant probably still loves it. There are instances where some light seepage might cause algae to grow. You want to change it when that happens,
mm-hmm.
and make sure that that light issue is rectified. But what I usually do is I'll dump the excess water or like the old water into the garden, like the soil garden, and usually plants will just love it, no problem. And then you just change the water, just fill up with some new tapper and put some new nutrient solution in, away you go. I usually do this maybe 2 times every 3 months, I guess.
Right.
So you don't have to do it that often.
It's like once every 6 weeks.
But yeah, the time that you'll need to change the water is when it runs out. Because when plants get massive, that's when they start to transpire a shitload. And particularly in like the warmer summer months where they're going to be fruiting the most, you're going to probably have to refill that water maybe twice every week, depending on what you're growing in that nutrient mix. If it's lettuce, fucking don't worry about it that much because lettuce doesn't transpire heat. If it's a tomato, you can have a tomato to an 80-liter tub, and it's going to bring all fucking 80 liters probably within the span of 3 days if you have a hot summer. So, yeah, it's a very
thirsty tomato.
It is, yeah. They are thirsty cunts. It's a very water-intensive thing. So if you live somewhere with water restrictions, maybe just like do that on the sly. That's probably the biggest hurdle for Australians is if we have a bushfire season like last, for example, and you can't use fucking water for anything, let alone like drinking or anything. You can't really do this sort of hydroponic gardening when you want to have like a nice wet summer, or you live up in the tropics where it just chucks it down all the time, no problem.
Mm.
Or yeah. Melbourne. I hear it's pretty rainy down there too.
Yeah, that's true.
It's raining faggots down here in Melbourne.
Yeah. So now that we've got Democ's wonderful memes back, I hope everyone's enjoying those. The what I read, what I expected, what I got. Very cool. What was your favorite episode, Democ, that we've done so far?
Well, actually, the book I enjoyed reading the most was Serotonin.
Okay.
Actually, I'll just flat out say Serotonin. That was probably the most fun I had recording an episode.
Yep. Very cool. Very cool. And Bronz?
Well, I didn't get to be on the Serotonin one, but I enjoyed listening to it. And I reckon it would have been a pretty interesting present. Necessarily like political theory, philosophy type stuff. It was more like a story.
Mm-hmm.
So that would have been cool. But I enjoyed the first one we did, Revolt Against the Modern World. It might have been a little bit rough as far as like us speaking continuously and stuff like that, because it was the first one we did. But yeah. I enjoyed that. And I enjoyed the Mosley book as well.
Yeah, right.
I haven't read that Mosley one yet. I've been meaning to read one of his others, but I read his short, like little, basically like a pamphlet on like the 10 points of fascism, which is only like,
yeah, that's what we did. Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We did 100, we did 100 questions. It's pretty short. It's just kind of literally question and answer, a little short paragraph for each question, but
yeah,
it's good. It's good, I reckon.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Mick, what was your one, Mick?
My fave, I think probably episode 4, Bronze Age Pervert.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, rate that one as well.
Yeah, I really enjoyed listening back to the two that we did on Culture of Narcissism, because we had Paws on.
And
that
was, for sure.
Just listening
to them talk
about Christopher Lash's or something else, man. I just sat there gobs for the entirety of it was brilliant.
They were great episodes, those. Listening back again, those were some that I wasn't on, but listening back to them was awesome. They were excellent episodes.
Right. What were you going to say, Oz? Sorry.
Oh, yeah, I was literally just about to ask, what did you think of Bronze Age Mindset? Because it's another one I haven't read. I've got a bunch of these books that seems like you guys have gone through that I've got on my wish list that I haven't read yet. So
even if just start by reading the last chapter of Bronze Age Mindset, and that'll you'll get a lot of value out of that regardless. And then if you enjoy that, then go through the rest of it.
In terms of just being entertaining to read, it's definitely up there from what we've done so far.
Oh yeah,
it's fucking hilarious.
It was very good, very funny.
Yeah,
it reminds me, like, it has a very similar sort of tone to, I don't know if it's a fair comparison to the Stephen Franson book that I read recently, which was the Torturing the Villagers. That's also a fucking hilarious read as well, if you can understand what's going on in there.
Yeah, we'll very likely be doing that one on the show.
I think we had a bit of a chat. We wanted to do a shorter, punchier book for our next one, so we're looking at either that or Harassment Architecture. So
votes in the chat, everyone. Votes in the chat.
That's one that that's I wanted on to the read list. Well.
Yeah, I actually have the like. I have some of these on ebooks, but I don't like reading off of my laptop and having it dig into me and all this retarded shit. So
same.
I'd rather have the book. I've got the Ted Kaczynski one on ebook, but I feel like it's wrong. I need to. I feel like I should be like printing it out and reading it.
The premise of the entirety of the book is to have it, I'm reading it on technology.
One of the biggest possible flexes is taking a screen cap of your ebook of Ted Kaczynski, just like writing a question about that bit of the book and then mailing it to him.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that over the, like,
I don't know how good an idea just making Ted Kaczynski really mad. That's a flex.
Considering you still got access to the mail service in prison. So over the end of your holidays last year, I read Linkola. So his Can Life Prevail? So Pentti Linkola, good book. But there was something deeply, ironic about reading it on, like, I have an e-reader. and doing a lot of reading in airports and just thinking, fuck, I think I'm part of the problem. Sorry, Pentti.
Yeah, but most of the people that are like pretending to read at airports aren't. They're like playing fucking Flappy Bird or something.
Flappy Bird on the e-reader.
I'll be sitting at work sometimes, and I'll just be like reading an e-book on the laptop. And people will be like, oh, you playing like RuneScape or something down there. And I'll be like, no, I can't. I'm reading a fucking book. But you go in there and you read a book, and then people are like, oh, what are you reading? You know, like, they think, oh, wow, you must be really fucking big brained.
That's true.
Have you seen the images where it's like, that, like, it'll be like a massive book, like some Aaron Rand or however you say it. Her fucking name.
Ayn Rand, yeah.
They'll have that open, and then, like, on the inside of it, it'll be like a hentai book or something like that.
Well, that's just libertarianism in a nutshell, isn't it? Or
yeah.
That's pretty much libertarianism.
Admitting to being a libertarian is, like, pretty cringe. You should probably have the hentai book on the outside.
Yeah.
The people would be really horrified. They look in and you're reading The Fountainhead or something. Oh.
And I was trying to think of that. It's like that. It's well known. It's like a really fucking massive book that, like, hardly. It's all that, like, the ones that hipsters claim to read but never read. And it's
Infinite Jest.
Yeah, that's the one.
Hey.
So it'll be that, but with like a little manga or like a hentai book on the inside.
What's the last book you read, Ozzy?
Fuck, that's a good question. I haven't. See,
and
I've
why
been,
was it hentai? Like, that's the end of that question.
No, see, what I've been doing is trying to like build up a big book list and then actually like buy them online, sort of thing, and get myself some money. I think it would have been, yeah, that short Oswald Mosley one, as well as it's been quite a while. I can't think of them off the top of my head, but I need to get back into it. I've been more collecting like wish lists and things that I want to read, and then not actually going around to actually reading them.
Right.
I got through some Dostoevsky book not too long ago.
Notes from the Underground? Yeah. Crime and Punishment?
I think it was Crime and Punishment.
Okay, cool.
And then before that was... Another one was...
Crime and Punishment.
I really enjoyed George Orwell's Road to Wigan Pier.
Oh, that is a great book. Yeah.
Yeah. That wasn't recently, but that's one that's just kind of come to the top of my head. That,
bro, have you read 1984?
Fucking Animal Farm, bro.
Bro, have you read Animal Farm? Holy shit!
It's like real life now.
Yeah.
That is like always the coldest take, isn't it? It's like
it is.
Oh, I read really? This. Oh, this book is just like today. All the time. It's always 1984 as well. This is just like in 1984.
Yeah.
There's one book about politics, and it's 1984. It's the only one.
The nanny state, the surveillance nanny state.
Yeah, all right. It's almost to the point where it's like assigned reading in fucking schools these days, I swear.
I think it is.
Animal Farm is, yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fucking joke, bro.
No Lives just brought up a really good one, which is A Bit of Harvest by Ian Smith. I've been meaning to read that one for a long time.
That actually.
Yeah. I think we're gonna add that to the list. No Lives. Cheers, mate. That's gonna.
Yeah. If you're slowly trudging, is that an endorsement, or is that kind of like a sly? You know, maybe sort of avoid this one. If you're slowly trudging through it.
So tell us about that. Tell us about your cartoon, Bronzo. So you watch the cartoon on Animal Farm.
Yeah, we were meant to read Animal Farm and I just watched the cartoon, like the movie one, but apparently it's different, but I don't know because I haven't read it. I just watched the cartoon.
I read Animal cartoons. Farm like quite a while ago, and I enjoyed it for what it was.
Yeah.
Like, before it was like a meme or whatever.
Yeah.
Before it was cool.
Animal Farm, only 1984.
Mm. I reckon there should be cartoons of more of our books. Like, I'd love that cartoon of Cultural Critique, cartoon version of like Decline of the West. You know,
well, I like cartoon of Harassment Architecture would be cool.
There is in development from Japanese translation to English translation. There's a manga of Mein Kampf.
Of course, there is.
And people are like trying to translate it. Anime? Sorry?
Are they going to make an anime?
I don't know, but yeah, there's definitely a manga out there that's slowly being translated by Pol or Lit or something like that on 4chan.
There's been a lot of mangas getting animes recently, so who knows? It could go from book to manga to anime right away. It could be getting,
hopefully,
you know, Mein Kampf next season for all we know.
then Netflix adaptation.
There's going to be a Crunchyroll dub of it, and it's going to be entirely people like reading. They're going to make up their own lines for it. It's going to be an entirely different anime.
What's how do you say my struggle in Japanese? I'm going to Google that now.
So Bronze is still ever the producer. You're doing the research.
There isn't a word for
pull
it.
That up.
What's the most American, aggressively American way of saying struggle?
Weinstein.
War for Israel.
My hootenanny.
I think they're such a proud nation, and like they work too hard that they wouldn't have a word for struggle. It would just be like...
Google says that it's Watashi no Toso.
And I'm sure... Yeah, no, that's... Toso. No Toso. Okay.
I'll search just what struggle is.
We'll see what in all torso.
Torso is struggle.
Right.
And my
tatakao. I know tatakao is fight.
Ore no.
Ore no.
Yeah. Ore no.
Ore no tatakao.
We have 1 minute before the chat sees it, and we'll have at least one weeb correct us.
Actually.
So how
if we get a weeb correction from the chat, I'm just defaulting to whatever they say.
Whereas I'll just take the total opposite, like with GIF, which is how it's pronounced. How long have you been streaming, Ozzy?
Probably, I don't know, like maybe 6 months, maybe a little less. Like, I started off doing, like, I noticed that, like, DLive was a kind of up and coming platform, and I noticed there wasn't too much TOS and stuff like that. So I was like, all right, I'll do like public domain movie nights sort of thing and stream all old stuff like that. And that was okay for a while until they updated their TOS and said you can't play like movies or long clips or documentaries or anything like that. So I kind of stagnated a little bit there, and then I'm just kind of winging it really and doing bits of games, like getting around the TOS slightly with that sort of stuff. But yeah.
Subverting.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm. Yeah, I tuned into your stream the other night. It was very it was like huge content hose, but I enjoyed it. Apparently you started as a webcam boy. Here we go. Controversy in the chat. Somebody calling you out. Yeah. Doxed, mate.
Controversial, but true.
Yeah.
Big if true. I was the e-boy.
He's a gadget emoji model. he co-starred in certain films with Ricardo Milos.
Oh, dear.
So everyone in this chat goes to the gym, and, you know, the door to the gym and the leather club, they just look a bit similar. Sometimes you're just blocked out and you forget.
So what have we been all listening to lately? So I tuned into Aussie stream, there's this stream. What podcast have you been into? Has anyone heard anything good?
Usually in an hour or so Mr. White Tuber comes on, and he's pretty entertaining. He does the White Wake Up Hour, which is 8 a.m. over in their time. And he comes in like he's just railed a line of coke and done like 10 cups of coffee, and he comes in hot. I don't know how he does it, but...
Right. He's high energy for that time in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, not too much. I've been kind of looking for new stuff. I'll shout out Kiz Kardashian. She does cringe bingo. So she'll scroll through TikTok, and she'll have like a little bingo card, and it'll have like fat or like femme hair or perpetually offended, and you'll play along and like whoever gets bingo and stuff. So that's pretty fun and kind of reinforces yourself, like, to realize that you're not a total degenerate. But
maybe we could get cringe bingo on Sox's Janny stream.
yeah
I tried in earnest to tune into the Janny stream the other night. So that's our, I suppose, one of our sister shows. So maybe Bronce, you can tell us a bit more about the Janny. And what's going on?
I think
on
the
there.
Stream is. Oh no, the stream is fine. Sorry, never mind, mate. It was down for a bit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, never mind. Just back up.
All good.
I had something I was going to say, but I forgot what it was. What were you asking me to talk about there, Thomas?
The Janny stream. So I tried to tune in the other day. Yeah. But yeah, just maybe tell them a bit about
that. Yeah. We had intense technical difficulties. We tried to migrate it across from YouTube to DLive and do a stream on DLive, and we had issues, to say the least. So the stream went down and up about 5 times. But yeah, the Janny stream's just a shitpost and show. Myself and Mick, who's on tonight, and another kind of retard called White Sox. and
he's our retard.
Yeah, we're all retards. but we basically watch. The way we started it was like watching the show Kwanda, which is a political panel show here on government broadcast radio, and government broadcast TV.
Yeah.
And trying to get people to do tweet at them because they put tweets up on the screen. So trying to keep that tradition of getting edgy tweets on the screen going. So we do that show. It's just a little show, a little shitposty show. And that on YouTube mostly. But
have any of you got like some of the major tweets onto that show before, or any that you can remember that other people have got on?
Yeah, I got one on last year. It was something about like, it was like a pro-slavery tweet. I don't remember exactly what it was. I just remember it was like pro-slavery. We had another guy last year, Noongar Idealism, got on a tweet about his wife's boyfriend, it was his wife's son. Something about his wife's son. I think we've had some up about oil drilling. so we've had various good ones over the years, going back to when the dingoes.xyz were kind of the guys who used to collect them, and I think they used to offer a win your weight in beer prize for the best one at the end of the year. So
Win your weight in beer was great, because at that point ABC had no clue what was going on, so it was really, really easy to get them up.
Yeah, exactly.
I cracked up a few myself. I think pretty much everyone there, at least a few dozen, I mean, got at least up at that point.
Yeah. Well, I think Ozkek used to be the king of it. I think he had in his Twitter bio at one point that he was a 28 times Kwanda co-host.
He's still the king of it. He was racking them up even on the current episodes you were covering on the Janny stream. He just never stopped.
Yeah.
These are the days that I kind of miss, and I'm kind of upset that it is like shitposting 1.0.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's like powerful shitposting.
I joined Twitter too late to be able to get into that sort of thing.
We should born just bring late. It back.
Born too late to explore the world. Born too early, or just in time for.
Born too late to slip sneaky messages into Kwanda. Just in time to live stream about tomatoes.
Yeah.
Well, look, if there anyone who wants to bring it back, that's what the Janny stream is for. So we'll try and start doing that a bit more regularly, and we'll bring back Kwanda Twitter shitposting.
Bring back
the Trump election and the whole Win Your Weight in Beer episode on Kwanda back in the Dingo Twitter hashtag.
Yeah.
All really good. Definitely fun to be a part of. But for anyone feeling like they're missing out, I would not have predicted that we'd have tomato streams back then when we're doing this. So.
That's right.
That's true. I mean, it hasn't been entirely. Maybe it's been 2 steps forward, 1 step back, you know?
Is it a step back, though? I think it's quite wholesome.
I would say that it's different but equal.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't diss our ability, guys.
People are genuinely amazed though if you tell them that, you know, you're into gardening and you've got all this fucking knowledge that you can espouse off the top of your head like a spastic.
Shit, yeah.
Yeah.
Autistic gardening.
Autistic epic. Gardener? Wow, that's like,
I love it.
Oh my god, I'm wetting up already.
You have said that your garden has attracted more than one pollinator to your yard, Mick. I think that'd be another benefit for it.
I'm the chief pollinator, and they're all mine.
my god, I'm getting hydroponic in my pants. Just thinking about it.
I think I've got some deep water culture. But what about you, Mick? Have you heard anything good lately? Or?
To be honest, I've just been smashing episodes of Full House.
Yeah, me too. Shout out to Coach and the guys.
Coach, hopefully he's listening in right now, but it's probably like 6 million o'clock or something.
It's bullshit o'clock in the morning over there, I think. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe somebody, if someone stateside can post in the chat what time it is over there. But yeah, I think Coach would probably be tucked up. But Full House is fantastic. I really, can't rate it enough. If you haven't checked it out already, search for Full House Show. They've got a website. We'll try and get the link. I'll get the link sorted and posted in the chat, but they're fantastic. And they've given us a bit of support in recent weeks and days, so we really, really appreciate that. It's been great. But yeah, really quality content. G'day to Sam and Smasher. I don't want to forget anybody. Coach, Mr. Producer, the whole crew. It's just such a good vibe. Really cozy, really practical stuff that they talk about, and plenty of good laughs too. It's good shit. Get into it. Have we missed anyone? Demok, did I ask you? What have you been into?
No, I've not been doing all that much listening recently, so I don't have that much to chip in there.
Right, okay.
He's been doing vlogs from his BMW that he drives around the Hollywood Hills.
Yeah, no,
to different Chinese restaurants.
Yeah, I don't listen to podcasts because I'm just producing them all day, every day under various names.
So you're Borzoi is what you're trying to say.
I'm neither confirming nor denying whether I'm Borzoi. appearing on a podcast with someone who may or may not have also been me, that was a pretty impressive trick. I'd like to pat myself on the back for that.
Yeah, that was impressive, actually.
That was good.
We're getting 6:30, 7:30, around 6, 7 o'clock a.m. over in America time.
Yeah. So I reckon...
Apparently...
Go on.
No, mine is an irrelevant derail, but still important. We will come back to it.
All right, we'll circle back. But I was going to say, the last episode of Full House was a real good one. They had J.O. back on, and hopefully some people listening will know who that is. But yeah, really good content and stuff. But yeah, 6:30 or 7, J.O. would definitely already be at work. Poor bastard. What were you... Go ahead with the derail there, Bronze.
Allegedly, you sound like Tom Tilly of ABC.
I hate that this is the way you need to find out, guys, but I'm actually Tom Tilly. Yeah. This whole thing has been a documentary.
That can't be right because you haven't been interrupting and saying this is all we've got time for.
We're going to have to end the stream at some point. He can Tom Tilly it then.
Yeah. This is part of the redemption arc, apparently, that you have... Okay, that's enough of that.
Yeah.
We've had enough of your jokes.
I'm sitting here in my my red shirt from the Blair Cottrell episode, you know, or whatever it was. It was like that fucking garish, like, I don't know.
Oh, God, he has the worst, like, fashion.
Don't you mean me? I have the worst fashion taste.
It's disgusting.
I'll cop it sweet. People can look up Tom Tilly. You can make up your own mind. I mean, I've never been seen in public at the same time as Tom Tilly, so we'll just say that.
I mean, look, the die was cast, so to speak, way back when Herschel called.
I was radicalized by Hersh. Yeah,
you were. Yeah. What was it that you said? You said, doesn't he have a point about white people dying out or something like that?
That's it. And the whole time
And Herschel told him, no, he doesn't have a point. All white people must die.
Yeah. I know. The thumos rose within me, you know, the will to fight back. I just started. I just heard marching. Beat of drums. Well, there you go. Yeah, that's it. I've been doxxed. It was going to happen eventually, you guys. I'm actually Tom Tilly.
The origin story. It's out.
Yeah, that's it. We can talk about that, you know, to the cows come home. But that's good. I'm glad it came out eventually. I was getting a little bit nervous. You know, I've been on the radio for a while. Yeah. So yeah, this is
it's what kind I'm of doing a weight now. Off the shoulder when your docs comes out.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. That's
yeah.
It.
So is anybody at the ABC not dissident right?
No, I think Philip Adams. That's it. That's the end of list. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ida spends all of her time in her office behind the door. She's just wearing an SS uniform. Like polishing.
Yeah, Hamish McDonald is really bad optics.
I know. Yeah, look, we did have a think and we were like, well, we've got to do something to signal, you know. If we get a Hyperborean looking dude in a bit of a crew cut, you know, blonde hair, blue eyes, we're like, that'll play well. That'll play well to the base.
The ABC, actually, when you think about it, is largely very Aryan, like the host. Tom Tilley, Hamish McDonald.
Richard Feidler.
Who is that? Yeah.
Tony Jones.
Jonesy.
Jonesy.
All the boys from around the office.
Oh, g'day, it's a very Aryan I just workplace. Joined us. G'day, I. Yeah, sorry, go on. Aryan workplace. Oh, for sure. Sure.
Yeah. And g'day to the eye, a legend of the game.
Legend in our circles. Yeah, ever since Yasmin got Yasmined, it's that was the watershed, guys. I just got to tell you from behind the scenes. That's when we really turned a corner. You know, we thought we can't play with that again.
There were smiles all around in the office that day.
Oh yeah, that was a double donut box day.
Yeah. Fucking celebratory Lamingtons to everybody.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, now that we've doxed ourselves, I've already been doxed, of course, as Eric Wentz.
Yeah, that's true. You are Eric Wentz. Everyone wants to...
The office party was so huge, I decided to waltz on down to the ABC from my AZO building and join in with the festivities when Yasmin left.
Yeah, yeah. It was good to see you boys from ASIO down there. That was good. Yeah, old friends. We've derailed massively here. I don't know even what we were talking about before.
Tomatoes, allegedly.
Tomatoes. Yeah, we fully got off the tomato topic. We've talked about bees. We've talked about our favorite podcasts.
Talked about my identity.
Your actual real life identity.
Yeah. We had some cozy tomato chat, which was very good. I'm sure people really enjoyed that. For those of you just joining us, you've missed the tomatoes. I'm sorry. But we will be. I'm sort of projecting this and hoping that our valuable producer Bronzo picks up the baton that we'll be posting tomat. This through our feed. The tomato picks up the tomato.
Oh, you as an episode, as an audio episode?
Yeah, a bit of a record.
Yeah, of course. We've even already got the name, which is Roots of the Plant.
Nice.
Yeah, that's it. Roots of the Tomat. I don't know. I feel like this live stream has been very cozy. I reckon we'll keep doing these.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it.
Yeah. I don't know what the next theme would be, though. Maybe people can give us some suggestions in the chat. Because we really...
You guys did say one earlier, but...
Basil. We'll do Basil.
I think Jamok suggested seeds earlier.
Right.
Was it seeds?
What kind of seeds?
I don't remember this, but okay.
We can do more.
He mentioned coming on a tomato. I don't know if that's a...
Oh, yeah, that might have been it. That might have been it, yeah.
Emergency, not in case. I don't endorse doing it.
Cheers,
we can do a bit on like the latest and greatest in Swipple technology.
Oh, that would be good.
Have you seen them?
What are they? Seen them? Tell
like
us.
They're like little fucking... Well, the name is pretty explanatory. They're microgreens, right? They're little tiny plants. And they're like, I don't know, some species of fucking kelp. Like, not kelp, but like... Because they grow on land. I don't know how to describe them. They're just like little sprouts, essentially. Right. Land kelp, yeah.
Sprouts.
It's the perfect food for the bug person because you can grow fucking crops of this shit in your basement.
Yeah. I think I know what you're talking about. I do know what you're talking about. They're like the little purpley greenish things. They're nuts.
And look, I'm going to admit to something that I probably will be ashamed of, but I have dabbled.
What?
And... I've dabbled in microgreenery and
cut his mic, Bronze. Cut his mic. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. You're done, Mick. You're never coming back.
I can't believe that Mick basically just said trans rights on stream.
There's something to be said about Twitter, right? It's kind of like the ultimate emulation of what it means to be a white person, except carried out to nefarious means, I guess, because these people are like my open borders.
And it's also like a privilege we get as a result of our ancestors actually achieving things. Like we get to do like Swipple
being
things.
Sustainable in the past, right? This is our long winter's brain at work right now. Like, how can I efficiently make this tiny plant that just grows like fucking rabbits breed, and I don't know, it's going to be delicious, and I'm going to show all my friends, and it's going to be
good. But it looks really good on top of smashed avocado when you post it to Instagram. That's it. What else do you need?
Yeah.
What else do you need?
We earned Swipple behavior. Swipple behavior is ours.
Yeah. Mm. We were born into the Swipple.
It's our world.
You just
it's
adopted
our
it.
Word they now.
It's the our extremely, extremely specific IPA with a really long name. That's our birthright.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. They'll never take our Swipple beers.
Maybe we should do a beer show.
Glycerin IPA.
We should do a beer show.
We should do a beer show.
Do a drink show.
Pub show, beer
stream. Do it right now.
Pub stream. Pub stream. There you go, done. Pub stream.
Yeah.
What's your favorite?
Yeah,
beer?
Pub stream, yeah.
Or you turned me on to a good one the other day. So Asahi Black really wasn't bad. I didn't know the Japanese did a good stout.
You weren't just
No, I wasn't blowing smoke up your ass. No. I tried it.
Yeah, I quite like it too.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice. Bit top shelf. But very nice.
Fucking deer is poison. Holy shit. $72 for a carton, and a carton doesn't even net you a 24. It's just a fucking 18 bottle. A joke.
The nips do good beer, but my favorite, having tried essentially all of the beers, my favorite is from this German brewery called Weinsteffener.
Yeah, I don't know how to say it.
Yeah, you know the one.
It's got like an orange label or something.
It has different color labels for the different types, so there probably is an orange one. But I usually get either the wheat beer, which has a blue label, or fair I nice. Get the dark beer, which has a kind of reddish
based
label. And the
German beer purity laws, very based.
Yeah, that's right. It follows the Reinheitsgebot of I think it's 15-16, if I'm correct. Yeah,
very good.
I like fruity.
Yeah, and it's hey.
I like Fruity Lexia.
Yeah, that doesn't
makes it sexier. Yeah,
that doesn't meet the German purity laws though. So I don't know. I don't care how sexy it makes me. You know.
Yeah, Australian purity laws.
We've got a request from a live pub call pub crawl from Mel C.
Mel C's a good chick. She's in a lot of live streams that. Basically in all of the good live streams, so yeah.
Thanks for the diamond.
Is that a self plug? A subtle self plug, right?
Yeah, cheers for that.
I enjoy a lot of Weiss beer. There's I think it's like Schopenhofer or something like that.
Oh yeah. That's a good one.
It sounds like a parody name, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm not pronouncing that right.
I know I'm not, but
yeah.
To be honest, I'm just I'm gonna be straight up with you guys. Cans of VB.
Nice.
Hey, you can't beat them.
Mind a VB.
It's drinkable. It's got the strength there that you want it to have. You know, why not?
It's also
and it's draped
very
in, a,
crisp.
In the Australian green.
Yeah, definitely.
Green, the red, and it had the best jingle. Of any beer ever, fight me.
Oh,
fight me if you disagree.
Fucking
best ads ever. Those ads put hair on your chest. You know,
we might play ourselves out with that song. Maybe not live. I'm not sure if we'll be able to figure out the live thing, but on the audio podcast, I'll
definitely. We need I'll to share it with the world, mate, if they haven't heard it already, because we've got two Americans here, which is very nice to see.
Some burgers.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us.
You should, here's a beer that you should try. It's a Holes Turin, which I believe literally translates to wooden doors.
That's the official beer of the podcast.
Yeah, I was going
to get sponsors.
I was going to say that my favorite, if you can get it. And yeah, No Lives is sharing some health advice there, which is good. So hoppy beer gives you titties. That's true. True facts. Do you need a good malt beer, like Tom Roussel or Survive the Jive would tell you? You need a good malty beer or a mead, you know?
Duchenne go und Offen. That's another good brand.
The IPA.
Showers and Ovens.
Old Speckled Hen is delicious. Lou Ferrigno's got it. Yeah, it's nice. I like a German one called IPA Rausch Beer.
Thin boy titties. Those are our birthright.
The IPA man titties and the middle-aged boomer paunch. The little paunchy gut, yeah, you see? That's
the big,
nice.
The big
that's
gut. Nice.
Big gut and a Bintang singlet.
Yep.
Yeah. That's what you want. I think we've addressed the beer thing pretty well. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, we played a massive there, but... role into the physiognomy of boomers is their consumption of hoppy beer. I believe, just from seeing my clientele, it has.
Mm. Hoppy and lager. Hoppy and lagers, I think.
Yeah. And a lack of exercise.
Oh, you can't exercise.
And also... And also, it makes you have a bad taste in beer.
Like, hobby beer sucks, tongs, bro.
Yeah.
Just like get a real beer that tastes like. I just want a beer that tastes like real beer.
Mm.
So Victoria beer.
This is a big reveal. We're coming up on 2 hours, which feels like a good place to call it. But I was going to say, you know, a bit of an announcement here. I'm going to try and organize a meetup of you know, at least the regular hosts, hopefully maybe Aussie could even join us and some other people in August. So it's our 1 year anniversary in August. And I was thinking it'd be great to actually record an episode all in the same room. Be a bit weird.
Live.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it'd be good.
I'd have to get a GoFundMe for my plane ticket.
Yeah, right.
No. I'd be keen. No, that sounds cool.
Yeah, get some GoFundMe streams going, perhaps.
Yeah,
sure. The donation target. Yeah,
we're gonna do do a live stream of us gardening with siege masks on.
You
fucking you called it. Baseball bats, ladybugs, and aphids.
Yeah. Deal with the final solution for aphids, which we covered in the first part of the show. That's white oil. Everyone, you just need a lot of whites, a lot of white oil.
Yeah. Which you can get that at a number of different Bunnings.
Yeah, you can also make it by four parts of vegetable oil and some soapy water.
You can also use soapy water to test for gas leaks.
Yeah.
That's a dad tip.
If you want.
Big dad tip.
Yeah.
If I's in here, here's some automotive advice. If you ever have a boost leak on your car, that's how you test for it as well. A bit of soapy water.
I wonder what you'd see that. If you were to... pour that soapy water across a wooden door.
Test for leaks. Yeah.
I think you might see a few bubbles.
There's some bubbles in this. This is very bubbly. Very bubbly.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. But yeah, August. August meetup. It'd be cool. I've been thinking about it. And also, we might try and organize a listener meetup or something similar soon. I don't know. This idea has been bubbling away for us for a little while. I know there are plenty of different little IRL orgs and things like that out there, and it's very cool to hear about people involved in those. But we might try and get some book clubs together as well at some point soon. So watch this space. Nothing confirmed yet. But if we do have a listener meetup, there'll be pretty extreme vetting. Yeah.
We're gonna radical.
Radical vetting.
Radical vetting.
You have to name five types of different tomatoes.
Oh, that's
you're allowed in.
That's the password is, you know, five types of tomato, none of which can be hybrids.
Yeah. Are we just adapting the Proud Boys thing they have where they're like,
yeah. Yeah. Just you gotta name,
they just beat you up until you name five types of tomatoes.
But yeah, so those are some developments coming up. And I think we said before the next book that we're gonna be doing on the podcast proper is either Torturing the Villagers or Harassment Architecture. So both books are pretty cool. Some people in the chat, and by people I mean Socks. Socks has read Harassment Architecture apparently, so you'll enjoy that.
It's the only thing he's read.
Yeah.
I'd be keen for either of them. I've got Harassment Architecture. I just have to find a copy of Steve Francis's book free. Maybe I can just email him and be like, "Hey, bro, I'm a DLiver as well. I'm pretty big on DLive, you know.
I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Reading my Tinder profile, Bronzo. That's not true. I'm not a Tinder.
I think we should get him on, to be honest, because he likes to talk shit.
Who's Steve or Ozzy? Because I reckon Steve. Both.
Oh, okay. Or both, yeah.
Yeah, Ozzy, I think you just chopped yourself in as a host, mate. I think you're... Yeah. Looking keen.
You're in the squad.
You're in the squad now.
You're a lot of books all the time.
Yeah, I'm for sure. It'll get me into reading books, which I should be doing. Because
the biggest brain ever on the block.
take the book pill.
Yeah, I will.
Which is also the black pill.
Yeah. Yeah.
Spoiler alert. You're not gonna like something.
I'm just gonna start reading books on stream like an e-girl. Yeah, like face cam.
If you can like have the proper cadence to do it, I reckon you could do like some really good content reading some of, you know, the texts that don't have, like, we don't have ebooks of, like David Jukes, for example. I could listen to that cunt ramble all fucking day, but
about fitness.
Well, about that too, but he has his own ebook. My Awakening, and like for people that are short on time, or you know, they just like to listen to shit at work, like what I do. Having somebody that reads it with a proper cadence and won't fuck up and stumble over.
Oh yeah, that's the main problem with a lot of them is finding an audio book that isn't like read by a robot or
that's the that worst sort of part thing. About it.
Or someone who sounds like it. This is a LibriVox recording. You're listening to Decline of the West by, maybe it's just Zizek, by Oswald Spengler. I'm like, I'm not spending 8 hours with you, cunt. Shut up.
No, I don't even mind if the reader themselves goes off on a tangent or something. but that would be really good content, I reckon.
One of my test streams that I did just when I'd had a few beers and couldn't be bothered getting on my streaming PC... I booted up DLive. I had a bunch of pro Mao and pro communist imagery on there, and then I had someone doing the readings from Mao's Red Book,
right?
And it was like translated into English and stuff, but. I got on the front page of DLive, even though like it was like the worst. Like I was talking into my laptop microphone while my speakers were going. It was like the worst quality shit in the world. But yeah, I somehow got up there with like all this pro China. I'm like, oh, yeah. Just like was a little test to see if I could do it, but. That was pretty funny.
So what you're saying is we need to embrace our identity as gay communists that we've discovered through our studies so far.
Yeah. Start... Our next book has to be something. Maybe the communist version of the Chinese communist version of the Bible, where they've replaced it so it says like there are no gods except. One God and the Communist Party of China. Like they've legit gone around and done that.
Wow.
Jesus was like a wandering like Wing Chun expert or something like that.
Yeah, nothing like a bit of historical revisionism. That'd be good.
Yeah.
I reckon we can branch out to WeChat. That'd be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Hey, we already like revisionism. What's one more type of it? You know, between friends,
from the telly chat,
cremation.
From the telly chat, Bass wanted to get a shout out for Ray Pete, so I just had a quick search of that, and it looks like a pretty good website, lots of good info on there. So
I thought that was a play.
Ray Pete.
Yeah, I thought that was a play on words.
Yeah, no, I checked it out. I didn't know about glycine nationalism. Is that a animal, vegetable, or mineral, Bass? What's the go? Is it a book? Are you just a fan of glycine? Because me too, I get that. That's cool.
Ray Pete, I'm looking it up. Pete. Wet towels?
Probably not.
Oh no, that's Ray Pett. Never mind. I searched Ray Pett.
Accidentally searched rape. Oh.
Whoops. Whoops, I searched groper rape.
Can I get a shout out for Goatsy?
Oh no.
It's that time of the stream.
It is. Yeah. It's 10:55.
It is. Yeah.
10:55. We start bringing up these kind of internet things. You know.
Yeah, that's true.
Starts to derail.
I reckon we use the last 5 minutes productively. So this is a little bit of a. This is maybe episode 10 for us. It's our first live stream. We've been doing the podcast for a while. I always thought personally I wouldn't take it too seriously until we got over the 10 episode milestone, because that seems to be when most podcasts die, before that marker. So yeah, I'm still loving it. I'm getting a lot out of it. And it's encouraging me to stay accountable and actually read these fucking books. But yeah, big thanks to Nat Lucas, who joined us, the Australian poet.
Do you want to drop your link to the website in the chat or in,
definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll jump across.
Just so
no,
that's people know where to find you.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been, it's scrolling across the top there too, but I'll drop us through. So yeah, who else have we had on? We've had Nat Lucas, Sheepdog, and Bromley have also guested with us, but last and definitely not least was Borzoi, who joined us for Culture of Narcissism. That was huge. I mean, we were all bringing a knife to a hand grenade fight. He schooled us all. It was good,
I didn't even show content. Up to the fight.
Yeah, that's it.
I knew better.
Yeah, you were in the car. You were the getaway driver. We just never made it back. Yeah. So yeah, but I'm in touch with a couple of people and trying to get some other guests and things like that organized for the show in the future. So, but as always, if you join up in the Telegram chat or you want to send us anything on Twitter, if you've got ideas for books or, you know, other guests we might want to get in touch with,
it's great. Or even if you're just an epic gamer, get in touch if you're epic.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to.
Sure.
You know, that game of chat, that's where to get it.
Yeah, that's right.
Hmm.
Is it called the game of chat now? It's called the Copperbund.
Yeah. We're just about
It is for gamers.
Yeah, it is for gamers. It's only for gamers. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Only gamers allowed.
That's just facts. That's just the way it is.
Hmm.
But if you're not a gamer, you can just become one before you join. So don't let that deter you either.
Yeah. I think, yeah, I'd like to give a posthumous shout out to, as far as podcast goes, to The Absolute State. I know lots of people have missed that show. But it's their, you know, their sort of the, where this all started. So cheers to all those guys for it.
Yeah, yeah. Those guys, the Dingoes as well. All the
Dingoes
that.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have anything else you wanted to close out with, Mick?
Oh, no, sorry. I was picking my nose.
Yeah, fair.
yeah. Requiesta in pace, our fallen comrades and brethren. Old podcasts, which, I mean, their content is still hot and heavy today and relevant.
Yeah, yeah.
Highly recommend. If you can find archives of it anyway, I've got it all saved on my NAS. So.
Yeah, you did well. And what about you, Demok? Wise words?
Posthumous shout out to, or maybe not posthumous, because the world's dearest, but the Terrycast.
Yeah.
Big shout out.
Yeah.
The Terrycast is eternal. It might take long breaks sometimes, but eternal.
Yeah. And Aussie Mozzie stream, obviously.
Yeah.
Tassob, No Lives Matter points out in the chat. That's a good one. The Absolute State of Britain. Great lads.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have much shout out. I just stream bullshit. I try to keep it pretty relaxed. There's a lot of political and very serious stuff on here, so I try to combine that with just the same kind of people that go to those chats, and combine it with just fucking relaxing and, you know, not talking about the Jews and fucking coronavirus and all that sort of thing all the time.
Mm.
just watching some movies sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very cozy. I can vouch for that.
Yeah.
Very cozy. Yeah. There's one in the chat for you, DeMarc. I don't know if you can see that on our DLive chat. I think I'll leave that official duty up to you.
Let me just scan through there. How long ago was the... Am I looking?
It was very recently. Very recently. Yeah, it was Socks asking for something special.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Sock was... job.
Yep. Especially for Socks and his Johnny stream, we're shouting out Lunka Blunka.
Hmm.
Lunka Blunka.
It's a good tradition here.
So nobody knows what that is, but it's important. Just know that. And if you have a chance to shout it out anywhere.
Oh, we got sure a Ninja Genie.
Lunka Blunka shout it.
Aussie. What a guy. Thank you.
Just thought I'd King. Flex a little bit.
We're rolling in it now. Yeah. Look at this. Mate, you're going to need to make some lemonade. You got so many lemons rolling in. Biggest thanks, though, obviously, apart from to Aussie. For the big flex there and for joining us on the stream and for hosting us on DLive and for teaching us how to use the internet and you know, agreeing to come on the show. Basically for just saving the podcast, really. I mean, pretty much at this point, we'll just hand you the keys. but yeah, everyone in the chat, thanks so much for joining us. I can't believe that, you know, 20 of you have stayed with us through the tomato chat. You've braved the tomato cast. Well done.
Yeah.
Hope to see you again.
I could have gone on for another 3 hours about tomatoes, so consider yourself lucky.
We even got him on bees. Yeah, and that was short, considering.
Yeah, we'll be back with more tomato talk. But yeah, yeah, thanks to our top contributors there, Ozzy, of course, who's on the cast. And Mel C, No for Lives sure. Matter, of course.
No Lives Matter. Great bands in the chat. Thanks, everyone. This was very cozy.
Yep.
Bronzo, Best of, Brucey, and Ricey something as well.
If you have any more, guys. If you have any more questions about tomatoes, be sure to slide into our Telegram and ask me directly, and I'll spurg for hundreds of hours.
Or you can contact us at rootsoftheright@protonmail.com, and Mick will
me by carrier pigeon.
Yeah, or by carrier pigeon. Mick will send out those gardening fact sheets to you as well if you join the mailing list.
I'm just gonna email that with like a mason jar full of dirty water and be like, what do help?
Yeah, please send us your update pictures of your mason jars full of dirty water and bits of basil plant, by the way. I'd be really interested to see just how many fall off of this tree. Just kidding, it's a really good way to get into it.
Alright. And that's all we have time for, guys. Thanks for joining.